Good morning. My name is Mike Souder. Good morning. So Sunday night last week, full confession, I had one of those real parenting fails. You ever been there? Come on, be honest. So the snow had mostly finished falling last Sunday, and I was cleaning up. I had the driveway plowed, had the cars cleared off, and shoveling out the rest of the driveway. And I'm a little stressed out. I'm thinking about a busy week coming up, Christmas parties and Christmas concerts and open doors and a few ministry challenges. Let's just say I was not in the mood for snow, which is saying something for me. I get updates from Snowshoe every time they get snow. So when my daughter, Evangeline, comes outside, she's 8 years old, she comes out ready to help me, and she's got all the gear on. I mean, she's got the gloves and the hat. She comes out there with this little broken broom ready to help me, okay? And I'm proud of her because the snow is, like, still blowing, and it's cold and it's dark. And so we're shoveling, or I'm shoveling, and she's brooming. And talking, a lot of talking. And then all of a sudden she says, "Daddy, look at the snow falling." And we have this big bright light in our parking area. So, you know, she was all excited by that. And she said, "It's so pretty. It makes me feel like I'm falling backwards." And she keeps trying to get my attention. But I'm just like, "Yeah, honey, that's nice, you know. Translate, don't talk to me right now." And then she says, Daddy, can I use your phone? I want to take a picture." And I'm like, "Honey, I don't have my phone. Go get the phone from mommy. Translate, leave me alone," you know, basically. So a few minutes later, she comes back with the iPad, and she's trying to take pictures of the snow with the iPad. Daddy, look at the snow. It's so pretty. So for just a split second, I stopped and I looked at the snow falling in the light. I said, "That's nice." And I went back to shoveling. And as any parent knows, and this is so pathetic, don't learn this from me, but if you ignore your kids long enough, they'll just go away. It's terrible, but it works. So I'm sorry, honey. Not that she's going to listen to this. She's up in the kids thing, having a blast right now. But so I felt bad, and so I came inside, and because I love my daughter so much, I watched this Christmas Prince movie on Netflix with her and my wife. I mean, if that isn't payment enough, I don't know what is. But God started speaking to me. Not through the Christmas Prince. God started speaking to me about this whole idea of seeing, about the wonder of seeing what God is doing. And it seems to me that Christmas gives us this annual opportunity to have like a vision check, to see everything differently, to re-engage with God on a bit of something like a treasure hunt, right? To live with wonder. Like, God, what are you up to? So today is the third Sunday of Advent. Advent is our annual 4-week preparation for Christmas. And we've talked about waiting. We've talked about believing. And today we're going to talk about seeing the fulfillment of God. We're going to talk about what it looks like when our faith actually becomes sight. So if you would, read with me in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word." That's Jesus, right? "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That's why we like Christmas lights, right? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, read this with me, the world did not recognize him. It's one of the most painful things ever. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Let's pray. God, we thank you for giving us senses, giving us eyesight, giving us hearing, giving us the ability to touch and smell. And I pray, God, that today you would increase our sight to see what you're doing. Increase our expectancy. Increase our ability to take the risk to live imaginatively with you. God, what are you going to do next? Increase our wonder. God, would you speak to us this morning? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus came. Remember, Jesus is God. Jesus came that we would know God, that we would see God. And that's the Christmas story, really, in a nutshell. Christmas is about God coming to earth to make God's self visible. As the Message version says, putting on flesh and blood and moving into the neighborhood. Well, you know, you'd think that would cause quite a stir, get people pretty excited. But most people didn't see it. Verse 10 that we just read said they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him because an average looking baby born to an average couple living in an average home in a average or below average neighborhood, it wasn't what they expected, right? It was not what people were looking for. That said, a few saw him. A few got it. Mary saw the angel Gabriel and said, so be it. Yes, sir. The shepherds saw the angels and they obeyed. Simeon and Anna saw the infant Jesus for who he really was. The Magi, they got it, right? Went to big risk to travel hundreds of miles over months. So how did these people know? That's a question I've been asking myself over this Advent. How did these people get it? Well, I don't know for sure. But I think there's something about this idea of them like expectantly looking for God. This is a total non sequitur, but it just came to me. Moses, how many bushes did Moses probably see burning? Like, you know, stuff would burn in the desert. But Moses was like, I got to see this. Like, expectation, expectancy. God, what are you going to do next? Right? The Messiah promised in hundreds of prophecies over 1,000 years would do three things. The first, probably the most significant, the Messiah would restore our relationship with God. God exists as a relational being, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God created us in his image to live in relationship with him, right? So Adam and Eve are born and immediately screw the whole thing up. And every day from then until Jesus, sacrifices had to be made for the forgiveness of God's people. The virgin birth of Jesus made it possible for God to incarnate himself perfectly and offer the perfect sacrifice to make things right. So the Messiah, first and most importantly, the Messiah fixed our relationship with God. Secondly, the Messiah launched a new kingdom. This is the one they all expected, right? Catherine talked about this earlier. I love how you said it, Catherine. It was the best they could imagine, right? The Messiah would come and he would make everything right politically, economically. He would bring justice. He would restore Israel. He'd kick out the Romans. The Jews were looking for a military king, a military Messiah to lead them from Jerusalem. That was the best they could imagine. But as is often the case, God's got something way, way bigger than we can expect. Did you know that? Did you know God has bigger plans for you, your kids, your marriage, your work, your parents, than you could imagine? So Jesus was born into earth to launch a kingdom where he would rule over all time and space. Isaiah chapter 9, which we read earlier. There will be no end to the increase of his government and of his peace. It never ends. It just keeps growing and expanding. It's incredible. So that's the second thing. Then the third thing is that the Messiah came to make way for the Holy Spirit. In the same way that John the Baptist comes on the scene to make way for Jesus, Jesus comes on the scene to make way for the Holy Spirit. So before Jesus, the Spirit would come at certain times, in certain situations, to certain people. But Joel prophesied that in the latter days, God would pour out his Spirit on anybody who wanted his Spirit. And that's what we live in. And as charismatics at Grace Covenant, we emphasize this all the time, the presence of the Spirit in us, through us, around us, all the time. We don't have to go begging like, God, will you show up? Because he's like, I told you I'd never leave you. I'm here. I'm here all the time. Just open your eyes a little bit. Christmas, the birth of Christ, made it possible for our relationship to be restored to God, the kingdom to be ushered in, and the Spirit to come and never leave us. So this baby here, this baby is no normal baby. I'm really offended by Will Ferrell saying sweet baby Jesus in this one movie. Jesus is no sweet little harmless baby. This is the Messiah. And for Mary and Simeon and at least a few others, their faith became sight. Now, note, the Messiah is coming either way, right? The Messiah is coming either way. God doesn't need our sight to make things happen. Are you happy about that? God isn't held back from coming to earth because only a few people believed. And he's not held back from coming into your life and fulfilling what he promised just because you don't see it or get it. To me, that's a real relief to me because I usually don't see it or get it. But the question is, can we trust him as good even when we don't see it? I believe God wants to show us amazing things if we will watch for him. And the more we'll watch, the more we'll see. So back to my parenting fail. You know, why couldn't I see what my 8-year-old daughter saw? Well, I couldn't see because I wasn't really looking. I was not looking or expecting anything special. I didn't care. I just wanted to get the darn driveway cleared and get inside. I just wanted to be done. Interestingly enough, you know what my daughter's name means? Her name's Evangeline. Anybody? Good news. So here comes good news to me. Could I really not stop shoveling for 30 seconds and look at one of those little miracles of life? but this is just what we do. You know, good news is coming to us and we totally overlook it. We miss the tiny and the huge miraculous moves of God because our eyes are focused on getting something done and getting comfortable. We miss God because we're looking with this agenda of expectation. Well, God, it must look like this. Instead of this open expectancy, like, wild God, wild world, what are you going to do? We miss what I would call the Messiah in the moment. We miss what God wants to do and is doing in our lives because we're just looking with our natural eyes. We're just looking, we're not looking with the supernatural God, eyes that God has given us. Did you know that God has given believers a second set of eyeballs? So to speak. The author of Ephesians, Paul, in chapter 1, verse 18, you can look this up. Paul talks about the eyes that can see with hope. Your natural eyes don't typically look with hope. We're trained that if this doesn't look right, I am not doing that. It would just be stupid to. But the eyes of our heart, with hope, we can see things that exist in a very real way. But they're supernatural, I guess. I believe God wants to expand some sight today, to bring some healing to our short-sightedness. He wants us to see a little bit more of the big picture this Christmas. So we're going to go now, we're going to shift, and we're going to talk about the often untold story of Christmas. According to John, the Apostle John, the birth of Jesus was the farthest thing from a silent night in the spiritual realm. Silent night, holy war. Philip Yancey, an author, says, from God's viewpoint and Satan's, Christmas signals far more than the birth of a baby. It was an invasion. It was the decisive advance in the great struggle for the cosmos. Mary's pregnancy was the cause for war in the heavens, because Mary carried within her the greatest threat to the enemy and to our enemies. Author Chad Bird writes, silent night, violent night, hell and heaven meet to fight. This is from Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, starting in verse 1. A great sign, the King James Version says, a wonder. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. So this woman represents Mary, but even more, it represents the people of God. The 12 stars represent the 12 tribes of Israel. It represents the people of God waiting. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. The people of Israel were like, God, we've been waiting hundreds of years. We need to be delivered already. She was in pain. She was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, another wonder. An enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its head. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. Hebrew tradition says that that's when the angel, this huge group of angels, were thrown out of heaven and became demons. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, I need Jerry Falley up here or something. Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority, boom, of his Messiah. I like to think, you know, when the shepherds heard all this singing, the angels singing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth. I like to think they were celebrating. That was like this war song. They had just experienced this victory. So, you know, most creches or nativity scenes don't have a red dragon. You know, you don't have like the little donkey and Jesus and Mary and Joseph and shepherd and then this wicked dragon. It's just too nasty. But the dragon doesn't belong in the nativity scene anyway. The dragon has ultimately been thrown out of the picture. The baby was born. And as I was reading this, I was just so encouraged that ultimately God's purposes cannot be interrupted or subverted. If the dragon didn't destroy the infant Jesus, then the dragon doesn't have the ultimate say over your life either, if you're a believer. The dragon was put in his place with limited authority, and Jesus, the true final authority, was seated on his throne with God where he rules with an iron scepter. That's the real story of Christmas right there. God's destiny, and somehow our destiny as God's kids, it's just forever being fulfilled. The angel Gabriel said it well. The angel said, no word from God will ever fail. Nothing's impossible for God. The purposes of God will always come to pass, both in eternity on some universal scale and also in the little details of life. And whenever they don't, whenever they get messed up, he can somehow rework it to make it fit. I don't know about y'all, but that gives me a lot of confidence and a lot of courage and a lot of peace and a lot of joy in an otherwise mess of a world. That kind of sight is something the enemy, he just can't steal it. Jesus came to earth to make God known. And so the Christian life is this process of growing in increasing faith about the goodness of God. Right before the in-between services, Quentin King, new daddy, was sitting back in the back, sitting like this, holding his little baby boy Abraham in his lap like this. And the little baby's there, like looking up at his dad. And I saw that and I was like, you know, that baby has no idea how good his father is. But he's going to spend the rest of his life growing up to know how good his dad is. How much more the goodness of God? How much more do we have an opportunity to grow up learning more and more about the goodness of God? It requires, though, becoming like a child. Jesus said we have to become like children to get it. Only when we become like children can we enter the kingdom. Somehow we have to return to this wonder of a child, to live with this expectancy, always on the lookout, like, God, what are you going to do next? You know, like, what's in here? Like, every time we meet somebody, we're like, God, what are you going to do through that person? Every time something really horrible happens, we're like, God, what's around the corner? In the poem called Summer Day, Mary Oliver writes, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Well, that's a pretty nice, pretty awesome statement, but it overwhelms me, honestly, to take that much, to figure everything out about my life. So lately I've started asking God, so God, this one wild and precious life of mine is yours. What do you want to do with it? Do anything you want. And then I have to try and listen. I have to stop long enough and try and look around. I'm sure he's got something better than I can come up with, right? That's the story of God starting a kingdom way better and bigger than the people imagined. We were all created to live with wonder, but life has this way of like pressing it out of us. Some of us, we've been disappointed so many times, it's just too dangerous to keep expecting amazing things from God. Just enough already. For others of us, it's the opposite. We've taken the gifts of God so for granted that nothing can satisfy us. We've overassumed our role in making things happen and totally underestimated God. There's no room for God. So this morning, I want all of us to get this thing of wonder just a little bit more. I want our eyes to be fixed. I want our vision to be expanded. So we're going to sing a song that you all know well. You can stand up if you would. It's not a classic Christmas carol. The chorus is, God, I look to you. And so as we sing this song, I want you to sing it with expectancy that as we look to God, He wants to show us new things this year. And when we get to the line, hallelujah, our God reigns, something like that, I want you to just sing it with all your heart. That God reigns. He rules over all the cosmos, over everything we don't see. And He somehow reigns over your life, if you'll allow Him to. So I want us to sing this bold as a declarative statement. And then I'll close us here in just a couple minutes. There's a psalm that says, those who look to the Lord are radiant. I think it says their faces are never covered with shame. And as we were worshiping, I had this picture of Jesus, you know, at the end of his life, he's just stretched out on a cross naked. You talk about shame. But he didn't have any shame because his eyes are focused on God. That's we can have something, some version of that. That even though everything around us is a total disaster at times, we don't have to be covered with shame. Our faces can somehow be radiant. So we're going to pray. If the ministry team could come forward, I'm going to dismiss you. And I would encourage you to wait for prayer, even if you have to. If you need someone to pray with you, that you could return to a wondrous expectancy of what God wants to do, we would love to pray with you. We also have some words of knowledge. You can read, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 14, where we talk about the fact that God gives revelation to people at times of specific things that He wants to heal. So if you're here today, someone gave this to me in between services, somebody I trust. If you're here today and there's an arthritis that's causing some kind of cracking sound when you bend, or someone who's taking a deep breath that's causing them to cough a lot, or someone with problems with swelling in their leg concerns about deep vein thrombosis, if someone has a reoccurring feeling that no one cares about me, now we're going to have like the whole church full up here. Or someone who has frequent nosebleeds. If any of those specifically are you, please come up and let us pray for you. And yeah, we might need a few more people to pray, if anybody on the worship, on the ministry team or small group leaders. Here's the benediction. This is what Simeon prayed, who saw Jesus, 8-day-old Jesus. He said, "Sovereign Lord, dismiss your servants in peace, for our eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people." God, we ask that you would strengthen our sight this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. So come forward for prayer or be dismissed. We love you all.